right here where we are at is about 550 feet above sea level. And at our highest in Colorado, we were somewhere over 12,000 feet. So quite a significant gain. Welcome back to Knox Nature, the podcast about archery, hunting, hiking, conservation, firearms, and whatever else you feel like talking about. Episode 18 today, we are back. It's been a while. There you go. So, we skipped our last episode, which should have been episode 18 that came out almost 2 weeks ago now, or would have, because of our topic today, which was a trip to Utah that Jared and I took, and so we're going to talk about that today. It's pretty sweet. Got a little bit of gear nerd stuff in there, although we did not do as much backpacking as I thought we were going to do.
Yeah, I thought we were going to do more actual like hiking, backpacking as well.
But yeah. Did a lot of day hikes.
Yep.
So I don't remember the exact number. I did calculate it. It was over 40 miles worth of hiking total. But like I said, that's day hikes. So
did you calculate the total elevation?
No, but I do know that Michigan, right here where we are at, is about 550 feet above sea level. And at our highest in Colorado, we were somewhere over 12,000 feet. So quite a significant gain. Most of our hiking was between like 7 and 5,000 feet.
Did it feel a lot different air-wise?
I couldn't catch my breath when we were hiking.
I've never really noticed that, like even when I did ski trips out west.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it was like harder to breathe per se, I guess. I felt like I was out of breath, but I was also out of shape. I didn't prepare pretty much at all for it.
I will say, like, the highest I've ever been skiing, I don't know the exact elevation, but when we were really working out, it was hard to catch your breath.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. We didn't hike at 12,000 feet. We were just driving at that point.
Right.
But let's give a quick list of the... Well, first, let's talk about what we were doing, and then we'll give a list of the parks we went to. So the plan was visit every national park in Utah, and then we ended up stopping first at a national park in Colorado, which I believe is Black Canyon of the Gunnison National Park, I think is how you say it.
Yep.
So that was pretty sweet. There are pictures on my Instagram, at least, and we can put some on the Knox Nature Instagram. My Instagram is nick.minidis.archery, M-I-N-I-D-I-S. But we'll put some on the Knox Nature Instagram if you want to check that out. That is Knox and Nature_podcast. That place was pretty cool, though. It was a lot colder than Utah was, I think partially because of the elevation. In fact, that was probably the highest. I don't know exactly where we were at, but there was snow pretty much everywhere. Compared to Utah, it was mostly just like dry desert, whatever.
Yeah, I think that national park was my favorite, but that's kind of because Utah is all red rock canyons, and
yeah, that was
this
like
one
black.
Was actual mountain,
yeah,
so
jagged. It was pretty sweet. So from there we went to Arches National Park, and then Canyonlands, I think, was next after that, right? And then Capitol Reef and Zion. And then which one did we do? Glen Canyon?
No.
Bryce's Canyon. Bryce's Canyon was what we ended at. If you're curious what that noise is in the background, I'll let Jared explain.
My dumbass got a puppy. She's 9 weeks old. Her name's Elvira, and she's a pain in the butt.
She is an adorable black lab.
She is. She's very adorable.
But
and she's very fun, very cute. But
she
yeah.
does like her squeaky toys, though.
She likes squeaky toys, and she sleeps all day and then spazzes out for a few hours. But
well, there's that.
So Nick will do a lot of the talking, but if I have to step away, I'm sure he can carry on.
Yeah. So, yeah, after we did the national parks, we ended up getting done earlier than expected, and we went, oh, she's chewing on a cord. We went to Texas on the way back, stopped in Fort Worth, went to the Stockyards, spent the day there, which I thought was really, really cool. That was one of my, if not my favorite part of the trip. We watched the PBR showcase Thursday night, so that was pretty sweet. My understanding of that was it was like the best bull riders with some of the most aggressive bulls. They had like the top three competitors, I guess.
So it's like the best of the best.
Yeah, and they were doing a competition. It was called The Last Cowboy Standing. They're like filming some documentary while we were there. So that was pretty cool. The kid that won was 19. Whoa. So, yeah, they're all like really young. Yeah. I think the youngest kid, I think, was 17. And I want to say the majority of them were like 17 to 22. I think there was like a 30-something-year-old in there. There's a couple older dudes. But, yeah, and a lot of guys from Brazil riding bulls. Yeah, surprising to me. Huh. I didn't know that it was a big sport over there but yeah, kind of interesting.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah. You know, and there's a ton from Texas. There's one from PA. Where else? Alabama, Georgia, something like that. You know, mostly south, but a lot of them obviously from Texas. And Brazil. Weird. Yeah. But it was cool. It was fun.
It is fun.
We saw some guys do pretty well, like go all 8 seconds and own it. There's a few guys that got kicked off like 1.2 seconds in, you know. So
you know they do a rodeo in Kaukaska?
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes. They do. There's a few rodeos around here because they do one for the fair as well.
Oh,
yep. And so that is Northwestern Michigan Fairgrounds. It's out towards Kingsley, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was pretty cool. But let's start off with the national parks. So we're at Black Canyon of the Gunnison, and like Jared was saying, it's pretty much just a black rock, because it's, you know, right smack pretty much in the middle of the Rockies. It's like kind of like southwest Colorado or like middle west Colorado, I'm pretty sure. But it's pretty sweet. I liked it. I think we did 2 miles there. We didn't do very much, but icy, like slick. I was a little worried.
Yeah, right.
'Cause everything, like, at that elevation, it was like 40-something during the day. Obviously got below freezing at night.
Yeah.
So it'd warm up just enough to melt the snow a little bit, and then it'd freeze and turn to ice. All the trails were ice, and then as it warmed up towards the end of our hike, because we got to earlier in the morning, everything started getting muddy and slick, and so it's like,
yeah,
whatever. But, yeah, the place was pretty cool. And then the same day, later in that day, we went to Arches National Park. So there's, like, all these big arches, you know, rock formations, whatever. We were supposed to do an 8-mile loop. We turned that into 13 miles.
Nice. It's
a combination of us following Jared. He had to go take the dog out, so he's not here to defend himself. But it was a combination of him exploring and getting lost when he was navigating. And I will admit, I mean, it was tough because you're walking through, it's basically a canyon. You've got rocks up on both sides, and then the further that you go, you come down into like a bunch of dried up riverbeds, basically. And people walk around, like they'll go explore, whether it's rangers or just people. Like, you don't necessarily have to stay on the path in all of the areas because a lot of it's just sand.
Mm-hmm.
And so people will get lost or go explore, and it's harder to follow the trails that way. But we ended up seeing pretty much every arch on this 1 8-mile loop. And then we went to the lookout for Delicate Arch. We were supposed to hike it, but we were running out of daylight, and so we just went to the lookout. Dude, I couldn't believe that this was the main attraction. It was the lamest arch of them all.
Really?
Yeah, it looked so... I mean, it's called Delicate Arch, right? So it's just dinky. But it's just like this random rock formation in a field of sand, basically, in the middle of the desert.
It's like, wow.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's looks like all the other ones we saw, you know, except smaller. But it was pretty sweet. I was hurting pretty bad by the end of it. My legs were toast. Yeah. And kind of like even some rock like climbing type to get, you know, hands and feet just to get over some of the stuff.
Yeah.
It's pretty strenuous at the back of the loop. We were making jokes at the beginning. I'm like, really? This is like a strenuous hike or whatever? And then by the time we got to the back, I was like, okay, I get it now. Yeah, it was rough, but it was fun. And so then we started the first night of camping, which was basically camping in a parking lot. The goal, mine and Jared's impression was that we were going to find like public land, like BLM land to camp on.
So to back that up, like a few years ago, I took a 2-week trip out west, and that's what we did. It was road camping. So we would drive all day, check out cool parks or whatever, and then we would find some BLM land and drive, you know, maybe a mile up a dirt road to a little camping area. And usually there was absolutely no one around, and it was always really nice camping spots. So when Justin suggested, my brother, not on the podcast, but
yeah,
when he suggested that we pay, what was it, like $20 to go camp in a gravel parking lot, I was like, are you kidding me? Way better camping, and it's free.
Yeah, it was $15 to camp in a gravel parking lot, literally right off the expressway, like a few feet.
You could hear the cars going by all night.
Really? God, that sucks.
I was too tired to care, but Jared was a little grumpy and a little hungry by the time we got to the campsite. So
to be fair, I had been up since 4 a.m. So
yeah, he drove the last bit of the trip, so he was up. I guess that to clarify, we drove down to Memphis to pick up his brother, Jared's brother, and his buddy. And then from Memphis, we rented a car and drove out to Utah. But it was not as bad as I thought. I thought it was going to be really annoying to drive all the way out there. I slept when I wasn't driving pretty much the whole time, so it wasn't too bad. But the gravel campsite part kind of sucked. However, the MSR Whisperlite International came in clutch because it can boil a liter of water in about 3 minutes. So we cooked up some brats and got some dinner, which was much needed. Yeah. Yeah. We weren't able to have a campfire there.
Right.
And then most of the times with the fire, that's kind of the hard part, is like we're camping in areas where BLM land you probably could have, but if you're on like if you're in like a camping area, it's a little bit harder because we couldn't just go cut firewood, and even if we did, it would all be green. So we bought some firewood to have a few fires, but it gets expensive. This dog is a menace. That is hilarious.
Oh yeah, you guys see what I deal with every day when I come home from work.
She's pretty amped up right now. Probably not the best time to do the podcast, but we're trying to get this out, so
we'll make it work.
Yeah, we'll make it work.
Apologies. I do want to interject going back a little bit.
Go ahead.
Delicate Arch, the reason why that's the main attraction is because it's freestanding. None of the arches are freestanding.
Yeah. I just thought it was kind of lame after we saw everything else.
Yeah.
But
I can get that. I didn't really think it was that interesting either, to be honest.
Yeah.
I
think my favorite one was Bryce's Canyon. That one was cool. I don't know. It's hard. They were all pretty cool. Some of them looked the same, but...
obviously, Stockyards was the coolest.
Yeah,
come on.
Stockyards was cool. We'll get to that. Jared ended up buying a sleeping pad, so he was all right. But the other two...
Didn't have sleeping pads?
No, they had sleeping pads, but... So Jared's brother, Justin, had a sleeping pad that was, like, older, and he kept complaining about how it wasn't... It would deflate overnight.
Yeah.
And so did Jared's buddy. They were both complaining about how it would, you know, they would deflate overnight. I had literally like a, I think it was an $80 sleeping pad with a R value of 6.6, which I don't know how accurate that was, but it kept me warm and it stayed inflated all night. It's a wide long because I'm a side sleeper. It's like 3.5 inches thick, super comfortable. Wow. The only thing I didn't like was my sleeping bag. Now it's a cheaper. It's made by Teton Sports. It's a $100 zero degree bag. Mm. It's all synthetic, whatever. But I didn't want to spend a ton of money on a sleeping bag. It did keep me warm, so there's no complaints there. It kept me warm. Our coldest night, I think it was like 27, 28 degrees, something like that. It kept me plenty warm. But I found out I don't like mummy bags. So in any warmer camping temperatures, I'm going to switch to quilts.
Yeah.
Because I like to have my feet spread out a little bit because I kind of like starfish. And with a mummy bag, you cannot separate your knees, basically. You know, I'm not a huge dude, but I'm definitely not small. And I was in a long-sized sleeping bag, and I had just enough room to where my feet and my head weren't, like, stretching the bag out, but I had no room, basically, side to side. So that part was a little bit annoying. It was cool, though. I enjoyed it. We have a dog mess over there?
Yeah.
Nice.
Sometimes I think I want a dog.
And then stuff like that happens.
And then stuff like this happens, and I'm like, man.
Yeah.
I'm glad I don't have any animals.
Let's talk freeze-dried backpacking meals for a second.
Yeah. One of my favorite topics.
Yeah, so Mountain House is the blue and white package. They're available pretty much everywhere. Mountain House and Peak, Sportsman's Warehouse, Shields. Peak does deals with Meat Eater. Like, they've got like some Steven Rinella signature ones.
Yeah, they have a couple different deals with people.
Yeah. Chad Mendez was another one. So I had a chicken and pesto one that was a Peak meal that I actually really liked. I was pretty impressed with that.
I think so far, like, Peak has been my favorite out of all the brands.
Mountain House is good.
Yeah, I like Backpacker's Pantry.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I remember you talking about that.
Yeah.
Those,
I like their breakfasts.
Now I don't remember. What was the name of those ones you gave me?
Heather's Choice.
Heather's Choice. So I didn't really mind it. I just thought the food was bland.
It's super bland. I had super high expectations for it and hopes for it. Like, I was super excited when I got them.
Have you ever had, like, a grass-fed?
I was let down.
Have you ever had a grass-fed steak that was just, like, you know, like, they get... You're right. It's bland like that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, I think that they...
It's healthy.
Yeah, right. They try to be too healthy with it.
Yeah.
And it just does not taste good.
No.
But the other ones aren't, like, bad for you. Like, that chicken and pesto one, there's like 40 grams of protein in that.
Right.
Tasted really good. It was smaller pieces of chicken. And what I realized, because I did the beef goulash one as well, or the bison goulash one.
Yeah.
What I realized is the bigger pieces of meat, when you have those...
it's not the way to go.
No, because it doesn't hydrate fully, so it gets a little crunchy.
Mm-hmm.
But the chicken and pesto one, they're small little cubes, like 3/8 of an inch, you know.
Yeah.
And they were able to hydrate enough to where it was plenty. That was cool. We didn't do a whole lot of... backpacking meals, but I did the biscuits and gravy one. If you're gonna do biscuits and gravy, pro tip, break up the biscuits into smaller pieces because, again, they won't hydrate fully.
Yeah.
But it was pretty good in the morning. Coffee with the sunrise.
Yeah, you bring a coffee. That was awesome.
Starbucks instant coffee Italian roast. Strong enough coffee. Didn't even taste like instant coffee. It was good.
Another one that we used when we did Manitou Islands was Cafe Bustelo.
Yep.
You get that.
Death Wish makes some.
I like the pour.
Black Rifle Coffee.
Like, you get the little, like, stand that goes on your cup, and you just pour water over your cup or whatever. Mm-hmm. Those are really good.
It's just, I was getting to a point where I was having too much stuff in my pack.
Yeah.
I brought everything. Like, I had a tarp. Not like a blue tarp, but like a camping tarp. That I ended up using as, like, a footprint for my tent. But I had a bunch of paracord in my bag, too, so I was prepared to, like, create a separate rain fly or something for my, like, I just had way too much stuff that I needed. I had, I brought my knife. I've got that White River, like, bushcrafting knife.
Yeah.
That I use as my hunting knife. And my Carta scale one. We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
And I really like that knife, but I only used it to make tinder for our fires. I didn't even, like, we weren't preparing any food with it or anything like that. Most of the time, I use my Leatherman. What is she chewing up over there?
She's got her chew toy right by the leg of the table. So.
I thought she was chewing on the table.
She might be. Just nudge her gently.
Leatherman came in clutch, pulled out a splinter, or a little sliver.
Oh yeah.
I cut my nails with it. Whole time Jared had nail clippers and I was trimming my fingernails with my Leatherman.
I was like looking at him like, "What the are you doing in the car?"
Yeah.
And then he's like, "Oh, that's why you were judging me, because I'm sitting there in the car with my clippers."
Yeah, it was pretty funny. It worked out good, dude. I mean, I was super pumped. I obviously, like, the cinch part of the Manimal was never designed to go on other bags, to my knowledge, but it fit right on the back of the Modus like it was designed to. So that part was really cool. I was pumped about that. Got everything to fit in there. The only thing I wish I would have done differently was my stove can run off of isobutane as well. You just need a different, like, you need an adapter instead of what comes with it, which is the fuel cell for the MSR fuel bottles. So I wish I would have gotten the adapter, because I ended up running out of fuel since I have one of the smaller fuel bottles.
Really?
Yeah, so we had to go find white gas for me to be able to cook with, whatever. And we could have used other stoves, but when we were boiling a lot of water, it was easier to use my stove. Had I had the adapter, though, I could have just used somebody else's isobutane, and it would have been fine. So that's really the only thing I would have done differently. That and prepared myself physically for the trip a little bit more. I definitely should have done some hiking and stuff like that. But it's not too bad. I think he's spinning her around. I'm not too sure.
Just trying to give her a bone. There we go.
So, yeah, what did you think about the camping portion of the trip, Jared?
You know, I thought some of the spots we found were a little bit better, but they were still really close to the road. Like, when I did my trip 2 years ago, we were in Utah, and we still found plenty of places that were far off the road. Actually, two of my favorite spots were in Utah.
Yeah.
And we were nowhere near the road. We were out in the middle of nowhere.
The river spot was cool. I really liked that.
The river spot was cool. I think that was the best one.
Yeah.
But and the one would have been right after Zion. There was that other dude there.
Yeah.
If we would have camped at a different, like, site at that location.
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
I went for a little walk, and there was a spot that overlooked the canyon that would have been way cooler, like, right on the edge.
We would have been a lot closer to him, though, too.
Nah. It would have been about the same distance, because it walks all the way out to the point. You couldn't see his truck from where the site was. We would have had to walk by him to get to it, but... Yeah, it was fun. So, have you already run them through, like, what our original plan was and then what actually happened?
Yeah, we talked about how we were planning on just going to the national parks, and then we ended up going to Texas.
I had mapped out, like, going to Black Canyon of the Gunnison and Colorado National Monument, Arches, Canyonlands, Capitol Reef, Bryce Canyon, Zion, Glen Canyon, The Wave.
Maybe the Grand Canyon.
I wanted to do Antelope Canyon, but it costs like $65. If you Google Utah National Parks, The Wave pops up, and Antelope Canyon pops up, both of which are in Arizona.
Yeah.
That Antelope part was Canyon is the one that you see people like super, super narrow canyon where the sidewalls are basically touching their shoulders.
Yeah.
I thought that would have been really cool.
It would have been sweet.
And the Wave is the one that has it's just layers of sedimentary rock, and it's like the rivers washed it out in really wavy formations. It's cool. It's very cool. Colorful as well.
I got to take off here in a few minutes.
Yeah.
All right.
One of the coolest things I think, what was that place that we went to the morning before Zion? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, the Cathedral Valley?
Yeah. Cathedral Valley was cool. We just drove. I don't think you can even hike there. We just drove through it, but that was pretty cool. Because that was different from everything we had been seeing the past, you know, week or whatever.
Yeah.
So we were going to go to the Grand Canyon after we got done, Grand Canyon and the Wave. But we looked at the weather, and it was going to be like 36 degrees snowing with a 50-mile-an-hour wind gust. And I was like, fuck that, dude. It looks exactly the same. Like, just to go just to say you went, basically. But it looked exactly the same as the stuff we had already seen, and we were going to be miserable out there. So we went to Texas. My throat's dry.
How far away is Texas from Utah?
Go ahead, Jared.
I think it's like 13 hours, maybe. I have no idea.
Oh, damn.
It was like a drive all day and through the night, and we got to Stockyards at like 8 in the morning.
Wow.
Stockyards is also on the east side of Texas, so
yeah,
we drove pretty much all the way across it as well.
That's crazy.
But
just threw a lateral. Drive 13 hours away.
Yeah, well, I mean, we would have had it. We were going to have to pass back through there anyways, and that's also what we did at the start. You know, we went from Tennessee all the way to Arches nonstop, right. So other than Gunnison, but...
Aluminum can. Wow.
It was a... what other kind of can?
Well, that meant...
You mean like, aluminum bottle?
The aluminum bottle, that's what I meant. Holy shit, is
that... He's a little goofy.
No. So you walked him through Arches. Did you talk about Canyonlands at all?
I did not. Nope.
Right, I'm going to take off before you guys get into something else.
All right.
So,
Justin's got some other obligations with his race car,
yeah,
so...
you know, just got to... I was going to say do, like, adult responsible stuff, no, but it's not.
No, you're not. No, you're going to go work on a race car, so yeah, whatever.
Okay, but...
can't judge you too much, honestly.
Yeah, we'll see you guys tomorrow.
All right.
Do you want me to pack up this stuff?
No, nah, we'll take care of it. You're right. Good. Otherwise, it's going to make a bunch of noise.
Yeah, I'll unplug my mic so it doesn't make. So,
right. Yeah.
3, 2, 1, out.
And the whole podcast stops recording.
That would suck.
So Canyonlands was really fun. We showed up first thing in the morning from that gravel parking lot campsite.
Yeah.
And we had... Did you tell them about the rental vehicle?
I did not.
So
Let's go through the parks, then we'll go back to the rental. We're skipping around a whole bunch, but...
I know, but the rental vehicle, we were supposed to have a Durango, and they gave it away, and we ended up getting a free upgrade to a Wagoneer.
Yeah.
So we took this Wagoneer through Canyonlands. There was...
Twisty Turny Road.
What was the name of it? It's like the Rim Drive, but it's the beginning. It has a different name.
Schaefer Trail.
Yeah, Schaefer Trail. We did that, and if you just Google it, like Google a video or something, I'm sure it'll pop up, but it's very cool. It's a very narrow road right on the edge of the canyons. And
bunch of switchbacks all the way down.
Yeah, you go in and out of this canyon because, you know, the canyons are the shape of the river. So you're going out on a point and then back into a cove and then out on a point, back into a cove. And then eventually you start winding down switchbacks down the canyon to the bottom. And that was really cool. And then from there, we basically just hiked around a little more. We went to Aztec Butte. That was cool because there were some... ancient dwellings.
Was that at Canyonlands?
Yeah.
Okay.
Finally. Finally lays down. Now she'll spaz out again that we said something.
I'm sure.
There it is.
Yep.
But yeah. The ancient dwellings were cool. There was a granary up there, like they had a spot where they stored all their food and whatnot.
Yep.
That was cool. And then we did a, I don't know, giant hole in the ground. You remember the name of it?
Something dome.
Yeah. Oh, upheaval dome.
Yeah.
Yep. That was fun. That was kind of cool.
We got some cool pictures there.
Yeah, cool pictures standing out on a tall rock.
Yep.
That was kind of the theme of the trip was rocks.
Yeah.
From Canyonlands, that was when we drove to... Did we drive to Capitol Reef the same night? Yeah, because we stayed at the river.
Yep.
And then we did Capitol Reef and Cathedral.
Yeah, because we were like...
The next day.
Well, Cathedral was Capitol Reef, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was... We were like 10 minutes from Capitol Reef. That one was pretty sweet. Camped right on the river. Had a fire. We lucked out, too, because we didn't have, like, any, I apologize for the puppy noises, but we didn't have any rain on us. Well, let's talk about this. So, we were going to have a real rainy, real windy night. I want to say it was the night after Capitol Reef. We ended up staying in some, in a cabin, basically. They were called Gooseberry Lodges, but it's basically like a little cabin. I think it was much needed. At that point, we were basically 3 days into the trip. Everybody needed a shower. Everybody was tired, needed a good night's sleep, and that's what we got from there. So that saved kind of part of the trip.
Did you talk about Cathedral Valley and Capitol Reef?
We just did. Oh,
you didn't talk about them.
No,
I
didn't talk about them, per se.
Cathedral Valley was pretty simple, but...
We drove through it, is what
Capitol Reef was... The first time that I went a few years ago, I did not really enjoy it. Give me a minute.
Yeah, basically you guys had driven through it. You didn't do any hiking.
Yeah, we just drove through and looked at the ancient drawings on the canyon wall, and then that was it. Like, we went and checked out the visitor center, and it was closed because it was during COVID. But
yeah.
Quiet.
Having a little technical difficulty with the puppy here. Yeah.
So, yeah. We just kind of did some driving through and then got out of there. We were bored. But this time we did a hike. It was actually pretty cool. There was a big bridge.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Another arch.
Right.
And then we went down the gorge drive, and that was really cool. Yeah. That was similar to Zion almost.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. Where else did we go? That was Capitol Reef. We went to Zion after that. So,
and that was that night we got dinner at a restaurant and then stayed at the cabin.
Yeah. So Zion was, yeah, because that was in like the Zion Park town, I guess, whatever. Zion was pretty sweet. We started with Angel's Landing, which I will admit kicked my ass. If you've never seen Angel's Landing, I would encourage you to go on YouTube and watch it. It's pretty crazy. Basically, you're hiking up, I want to say total, it was a few thousand feet of elevation gain, but you hike uphill the entire way. And the last bit of it is literally climbing up a rock to get to the top. And you've got chains that are either going to catch you or help assist you up this giant rock to the top. And it was sweet. It was a beautiful view. I took a picture of it. And the only thing I could think at that point was it just looked fake. It looked like I was looking at a painting or, you know, a TV screen or something like that. Beautiful sunny day. It looked like something out of a magazine. So super cool that we had a good time there. But it was a pretty brutal hike. And we did, what else did we do at Zion? We did another smaller hike.
I don't think we did we? We were going to do Emerald Pools, but
they were closed.
Yeah, they had construction on a bridge, and if we wanted to do it, we would have added another 4 miles to go on a different trail to get there.
Yeah. But it was super cool. We went through the tunnel. So that was sweet.
Yeah, we did the Canyon Overlook hike.
Yeah, yeah. So that was like a 1 mile hike, I think. Little guy. But it was cool. A lot of fun. I really liked Zion, even going through the tunnel and everything. It was cool to see. So definitely, I definitely think Zion gets more attention than the rest of them. But yeah. It was a really cool place. So
Zion would be like Yosemite or Rocky Mountain National Park.
Very
it's
popular.
One of the very big parks. Like anyone listening knows what Zion is, pretty much.
Yeah,
I would think,
or has at least heard of it.
Yeah. No, Zion was cool. Got some really badass pictures on the canyon overlook of me hanging off the edge, kind of.
Yeah.
Or sitting right on it. But it was sketchy. Like, I was fine taking the picture while I was looking at the camera, but then I leaned forward and looked over the edge and got a little wigged out.
Yeah, like, whoa. Yeah, that was pretty tall, too, even there. I mean, I don't think it was as tall as Angel's Landing, but it was pretty crazy. Definitely, definitely tall. From there, we went to Bryce's Canyon.
Where I hiked 6 miles in cowboy boots.
Yep. Jared was too stubborn to take his boots off, and so he just put ice spikes on his boots.
Yep.
Didn't bitch, though.
No, it was comfortable. It was just at the very end, I had a shin splint in my right leg.
Yeah, I was getting shin splints, too.
But
I think that was a lot of just the
other than that,
amount of hiking we did for me, personally.
It was, the boots were comfortable, so no complaints.
I do know I took a picture of it. That hike was at 8,000 feet at the top. So that one was pretty tall, but it was a cool one nonetheless. And we loaded up from there and went to Fort Worth. So we'll get into that. I did talk a little bit about the PBR and the showcase that they were doing with the 19-year-old.
Yeah, I heard that.
So,
we had fun, showed up at 8 o'clock and on a Thursday. So Stockyards aren't really that popular on Thursdays.
Nobody
the
was open either.
The parking lot was closed. Luckily it was the closer parking lot that was open anyways. And then, nowhere was open yet. And we were cracking up.
It was
up.
A breakfast joint, though.
A security guard came up to us while we were brushing our teeth in the parking lot, and he's like, hey, do you guys work here? And we're like, no. And he's like, yeah, you guys got to go park over there. I'm like, yeah, was it obvious that we don't work? We're brushing our teeth.
Right.
But
breakfast was good. What was that place called? Do you remember?
It was a biscuit bar.
Biscuit bar, yeah.
Yep. They were the only place that was open. So
I had an awesome egg sandwich. They did the egg over easy, so it kind of just like, spilled the yolk all over the sandwich. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm. I went with the classic biscuits and gravy.
Yeah, I can't go wrong there.
From there, we
played cowboy all day.
Yeah, pretty much. We went into a bunch of the different shops that were really expensive and we shouldn't be walking into, but we did anyways. I think we went to Ariat first.
Yeah, we went to Ariat. I bought boots, and then we went straight to Lucchese, which was a little bit sacrilegious because I had a big Ariat bag with me in my hand.
I thought it was pretty funny, and like it's funny when you walk in there because whoever the employee is, they pretty much judge you instantly on whether or not you're going to buy something.
Yeah, they knew we weren't buying anything.
But whatever.
We did buy, well, I don't know if you, I bought a cigar holder. From the King Ranch store.
Was that where we went next? Was King Ranch?
I think so.
Yeah, I think I stopped at all the expensive ones first, other than Mavericks.
Yeah, the Maverick store was cool. We ended up getting some custom straw hats made, so that was pretty sweet. Well, to get not custom shape, I guess. But it was pretty cool. I enjoyed that process. Part of me wishes I would have bought a felt. However, I really want, like, my next felt hat, I want a gray 30X hat. And they didn't have, I think they did have a 30X there, but I don't think they had a gray one. And also, I'm pretty sure the only company that I know, well, I shouldn't say the only company, the only, like, big name company I know of that makes a 30X gray cowboy hat, felt, is Resistol. Because I was looking at Stetson yesterday, they don't have one.
American probably makes one.
American most definitely would make one, I'm sure. Yeah. But
I bet you there's probably an American hat shaper somewhere down there, and we just
probably
didn't find it.
There was a lot of American hats that we saw.
Yeah.
Everybody was leaving the tags on it, like, you know, they got the little sticker on the side of it.
Yeah, it was cracking up.
Oh, you're cool. Yeah. I didn't care too much about it. I got a rodeo.
Maybe we just don't know something, Nick. Maybe you're supposed to leave it on.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we were playing pretend, so.
But
we went to Wrangler.
Oh, yeah, went to Wrangler, got some pearl snaps.
Yeah.
It was fun. The ladies there were very rude.
Yeah, Wrangler.
2 out of 10, don't recommend. Those, I mean, the clothing is good, but, like, the customer service was absolutely awful.
Specifically in that store.
I'm calling them out right now. Like, I'm bitching.
Yeah, it's good that nobody's going to hear it. So.
Yeah.
But the King Ranch store, even the guys in Lucchese, they were respectful. They were nice.
Everyone was really nice. The King Ranch, they were really nice. Like,
yeah.
I think
they wanted us to
knew that we weren't really going to buy anything, but they were also being very nice and trying to get us to buy stuff.
Yeah.
Like, obviously you did. I wanted to.
I spent $50. I was just being smart. Cigar holder.
There was a really sweet pistol bag. Like, when you go to the range, you get these little pistol bags. Anyways, it had the King Ranch logo on one side, and then it had a blank leather rectangle on the other, and they're like, oh, yeah, we'll brand that right here.
Yeah.
If you buy it.
I was looking on the website, because you can customize it. $150. You can customize it online.
Yeah.
And, I wouldn't buy one that was custom with the embroidery on it.
No.
I don't like the look of the letters on it.
Embroidered or branded?
Not the branded. However, yeah, they do it. It's probably a laser, to be honest with you. I'm not sure, but I just didn't like the look of it, cuz it was like, it just looked like they were trying too hard. Tooled would have been sweet, yeah. I don't know if you could have done that on the side of the pistol case with the, it was pretty thin leather, but it was a cool place regardless. Lucchese was sweet. I actually did find a pair of Lucchese boots I like. So maybe someday. You know, $600 on boots is, I don't know, but I'd be too scared to wear them too.
600's the cheap end, buddy.
For Lucchese's, for sure, yeah. I don't know. There was a couple of different ones that I was looking at, because part of me is like, if I'm going to buy Lucchese's, I may as well just buy, like, you know, a nicer pair of ostrich boots or Cayman leather or something
like
that.
That's what I'm
looking at. Here's the thing. I own a pair of ostrich boots. I don't remember. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I like them. They were handmade. I want to say they were like $300. So they're definitely cheaper, on the cheaper end for like handmade ostrich boots. You can tell, you know, they're not the highest of quality. But what I really liked was that the ostrich leather straight out of the box is super soft, super supple. So it doesn't take very long to break them in. What I didn't like was, these boots in particular did not have much of an insole, so I had to buy separate insoles to put in the boots. Otherwise, they're just unwearable. They're super uncomfortable. But the other bitch of exotic leathers is the care for them, right? I mean, at the end of the day, if you have regular cowhide, you can just throw some generic leather conditioner or mink oil on them, and they're going to be fine. Yeah. With exotic leather, you have to be a little bit more careful about what you're putting on the boots.
Yeah.
So that part's a little bit annoying. But you can just buy like exotic leather conditioner and it's going to be fine. So it's not that big of a deal. I just haven't landed on what I want to do. I like the idea of handmade boots, but at the same time, it's like, it's a little bit tricky because I'd want to wear them, and I don't wear ostrich boots. I don't wear the ones I have hardly at all. You know what I mean? And so part of me was like, oh, maybe I'll just get, it's actually smooth ostrich, but it'll be fine. Dog's exploring. I don't know. I think she's got her toy. She's being goofy.
Yeah, just sometimes when she starts walking around doing stuff like that, it's because she's got shit.
Yeah.
So we don't want that.
No, we do not. She might. Well, she's pretty occupied with her toys right now.
Yeah, she's just having fun.
So, yeah, I mean, overall.
Yeah, it was fun. See, did we do anything else other than hat shaping? Justin did get a felt. That was cool.
We went to the bar.
That they didn't put the headgear on him. It's kind of part of the experience, you know?
Yeah, but his hat fit his head, really well.
It was weird. His hat just fit him really well right from the get-go. But
he got a silver belly color.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a really light gray. I actually really like his hat. It turned out really well.
Yeah.
So that part is pretty cool. But I would love to spend more time there. It's hard for me because, like, especially when we were in Texas, I did not want to come home. Like, I was just like, man, we're going back to the snow and cold weather. The culture down there was just so different from here. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just all the shit that we're into, they're into down there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And up here, like, yeah, we got a lot of diversity, but I also just, I like what I like type of deal. It was pretty sweet to be surrounded by, there's an entire town of stuff that I enjoyed doing, you know, like, well, so this one.
Well, to be fair, it's mainly the stockyards that are like that.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
I feel like the bigger cities in Texas aren't quite as prevalent with that. You'll definitely see, you know, people that are commonly wearing a cowboy hat every day in the cities, but it's more common, you know, middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But it was definitely tourist town. It's pretty much everywhere in Texas because it's so big.
It was definitely, like, tourist-driven for sure. The cattle drive was cool. That was cool. We went to the bar, had a local amber ale, which I really liked. That was probably my favorite beer that we tried on that trip was that amber.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
Did you tell them about how after the showcase we went to Billy Bob's?
We did go to Billy Bob's. I did not talk about that.
Got to see Cat Hasty, who I didn't know who it was, but my fiance informed me that it's a, I don't know, apparently decently well-known country singer.
She's pretty good.
She was good. She just...
She talked a lot in between her songs.
Yeah.
But, she was good. Pretty good.
It was nice because we got free admission by showing them our rodeo ticket.
Yep, that was cool.
For the, or free cover.
There's another local band that played.
Yep.
Local
band played a
couple of songs. They weren't like... They were all covers, I'm pretty sure, but they were having fun with it. It was enjoyable, so
I can't complain. But they were playing for the square dancing and line dancing stage, so we were having fun watching people do that and got out there ourselves a little bit and made fools of ourselves, but whatever, we were having fun.
Yeah. It was a good time, though. Long night. Man, time did we end up leaving there? That was past midnight for sure.
Yeah.
And we closed them down pretty much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, because they had last
it was
call.
Like, it was like 1 a.m.
They had last call.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
Yep.
Yeah, and then Justin went to Waffle House afterwards once we got back to the hotel.
Yeah. I was not interested in Waffle House. I was so ready for bed. But
did you talk about the Bass Pro Pyramid at all? Having fun in there? And
I didn't. Let's go back to Memphis to the beginning of the trip. What would that have been? Friday morning. Jared and I showed up technically Friday morning. It was like 1:30. Had a few drinks, kind of got settled in, visited for a little bit, and then ended up going to bed. But we got up Friday, and I was pretty excited for the Bass Pro Pyramid. Inside was pretty surprising to me because they didn't have like any sort of special selection. And honestly, the size of the store itself was probably about the same size as any normal Bass Pro.
The problem is they've got a restaurant and
two restaurants
and a bar and
yeah, a hotel.
The hotel takes up a lot of room.
Yeah. But it was cool. We went up to the top, got some pictures, got a drink at the bar. You know, everything was kind of like, it was like steampunk almost at the top. A lot of like fish and frogs made out of metal, big ass aquarium in the middle. It was pretty cool. So that was fun. It was expensive ass bar though. I mean, drinks were like $15 or something like that.
Yeah.
That's
not too bad though.
I mean, yeah, I guess. I got an old fashioned and it was like $15, but whatever.
Well,
it's definitely not a dive.
The speakeasy.
Yeah, speakeasy was sweet. Let's talk about that for, well, we're going to jump around a lot. I apologize. But so Memphis, we get done at the Bass Pro. We go pick up the rental car. Like Jared had mentioned, we were supposed to be in a Durango. They ended up giving the car away or losing it or it wasn't returned on time, whatever happened. So we got upgraded to a Wagoneer. And we had some problems with the Wagoneer. So we get going down the road. We got a light that comes on that says that we have low oil. We need to add a quart. So we went in and bought 2 quarts of oil. So we had an extra one. We add a quart of oil, and there's a little plastic ring at the bottom. Think of like a Gatorade bottle after you take the cap off. There's another plastic ring right there. And it ended up falling down into the oil intake. So Jared went inside and grabbed, what is that tool called? It's like a little claw.
Retrieval device. I don't know.
Yeah. We ended up buying one of those and we did surgery on the Wagoneer until we were able to get this thing out. But we ended up getting it out and we were on the road again. Nothing ever goes right for you and I, dude. Nope. It was really something. So that part was a little bit annoying, but whatever. No big deal.
That's not even that bad. When I did my 2-week trip, my buddy was on bald tires and decided it was a good idea to start doing burnouts and drifting in a gravel road, and a rock popped his tire, so we had to go get a new tire from the tire shop and change the... It was funny because we were passing people and drifting by them as we passed them.
Yeah, there you go.
In Glacier National Park. Huge line of cars. Pop the tire, all the cars pass by us as we're putting the dummy on.
Yep. Yeah, so we ended up the night... That was the night after we did Zion, right? That was at Arches, or was that after we... Was that before... After the Mexican place?
That was after Angel's Landing.
Okay. So after Angel's Landing, we went to a bar called Cowboys and Angels. It was a speakeasy.
Yep.
Back of a coffee shop. That place was really cool. I don't remember the bartender's name, but shout out that dude. He was pretty cool. It was $22 for a drink. For that old fat or that whiskey sour type drink,
And you got a flask.
And you got a flask, or you could buy the flask separately for $22. So basically, we got a free drink. And then I ended up getting a drink called the Gunsmoke, which was basically a scotch mixed drink, which I enjoyed. It was a cheaper scotch, but the only reason... I shouldn't say it was a cheaper scotch. It tasted like a cheaper scotch because it was very peaty, which I don't enjoy. But
see,
it did
I
have
do.
Decent smoke
That's,
flavor, too.
I like that about scotch.
You like the peatiness?
I like the peaty smokiness, yeah.
I like the smokiness.
But you also got gun smoke, so it's going to have that flavor in it.
For sure, yeah. It was not a bad drink at all. It was just I would not have drank that scotch neat compared to a Macallan or a Johnny Walker. So... Yeah, it's not bad at all, man. I mean, I overall with the trip, I really enjoyed it. Glad I went. It was a lot of fun, and yeah, pretty much just a good vacation. You know, wasn't spending any time here. It was nice to get away from work and a completely different world out west. So. I would not mind living out there at some point. We'll see what happens, I guess. So, we got an absolute menace on our hands.
Yeah, apologies again. She likes to chew right now.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, do you have anything else to add for the trip itself? Is there anything specific you want to talk about? It's just kind of an overview. I'm sure there'll be more stories
of
the trip itself.
Absolutely. We'll remember things, but yeah, in a nutshell, that's what we did. A lot of day hiking and a lot of national parks through Red Canyon Rock.
Yeah. Yeah. Good adventure. I mean, we stopped. Well, how many times did we talk about? Two or three times?
I think only twice.
Yeah. Well, the second day was because it's Co Wetzel Day, so
yeah.
It kind of had to.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like an obligation, but yeah, it wasn't bad. I enjoyed it. So, yeah, you know, going forward, we're going to be a couple weeks out yet from turkey season. Actually, I think like a month, really, for regular season. So, that's coming up. Also, if you are a Total Archery Challenge shooter and you are going to the Michigan events, I will be at both the Boyne Mountain and the Crystal Mountain Total Archery Challenge events. I believe Justin is going to be there with me as well. So if you want to say what's up, you know, we'll be there. I can pretty much guarantee I'll be wearing a Knox Nature hat. I'm thinking that we're going to have some stickers available that we'll be handing out to people for free. So if you see us, ask for a sticker, say what's up. That'd be pretty sweet. But yeah, we'll have a lot of Total Archery Challenge content. See if we can get any guests on, which I'm hopeful we'll be able to. But yeah, there's that. Looking forward. Have actually a few different 3D events planned for later in the year, so we should have some cool archery content coming, as well as possibly some turkey hunting content. Thinking about getting this YouTube channel up and running, which I've been talking about for a while. I was going to do it for bow season because I didn't film early antlerless, and then I didn't end up shooting anything through bow season, so whatever. But it is what it is. I think we're going to be wrapping things up here. We got our hands full. So, yeah. You got anything else to add to that?
I think we're good. It was good coverage of the trip.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of fun. Shout out to Kefaru for me personally.
Yeah. Shout out to Justin for letting me use his Kefaru.
Yeah. That was pretty sweet. So, if anyone's curious, you can stick a 2.5 liter water bladder in the cinch of the Kefaru Manimal and use it as a hydration pack. It actually works pretty well. So that was definitely a win. I was glad that I brought the hydration bladder. But, yeah, pretty much wraps it up. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, KnoxOfNature_podcast. We'll have some pictures posted there. And, yeah, we'll catch you guys in episode 19. Good. All right.
See ya.
See you later.